Welcome to the Marriage Podcast with David and Summer.
We're here to dive into all things marriage, faith, and family. Real talk for real couples.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's episode.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Marriage Podcast with Dave and Summer. And we believe that every marriage can make it and that every marriage has a purpose.
Yes, it does.
Today, we're talking about how to keep romance and our connection alive for decades.
Right.
For the entirety of our marriage, how can we grow year by year? And as we end our marriage, if you will, as an old couple, that we're more in love at that time than we are right now. Come on, somebody.
Right. So I would say romance does not necessarily pass on, but we have to be intentional.
Have to be intentional.
Just and because you've been married for 30 years doesn't mean that your romance has been 30 years strong.
That's it.
You know.
And of course, we can, you know, hit on how sex is a huge part of this equation. Kind of get a witness on that.
No.
Yes.
No.
It's true, everyone. Think about it.
Moving along.
But this came about, you and I, of course, my grandparents were very special to me. When you came along, you developed a special connection with them as well. Mm-hmm. And this is my grandpa and grandma Norris. And both sets of my grandparents were each married over 65 years. So I'm very thankful for that.
It's amazing.
Both had a marriage that lasted until the end of their lives. And we're a great example. Particularly though, this came about one day, my grandparents were in their mid-80s. My grandfather was suffering with Parkinson's at that time, struggling physically. I surprised them at their house to visit them. And I knew the garage code, opened the garage door. Once the garage door was open, I heard music blaring from the kitchen, went in through the garage door, which went into the kitchen, and they were sitting at the table, eating ice cream, staring at each other, listening to Nat King Cole. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, this is what I want for me and Summer when we get to that age, that we're eating ice cream together, looking at each other, and in love.
Yeah. No, that's really sweet.
We're going to have it.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe that.
And so the question is, how do we get there? How do we have a ongoing connection, romance, love affair, love story, so to speak, that lasts for decades? Because anyone can mess up sexually, anyone can do whatever in a moment, but what's really cool is when two people marry and commit to one another and work at it and have a story that lasts decades.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. Isn't it?
Right.
So what comes to your mind when you think about, before we get into four thoughts here of how we want to encourage people, we're 19 years into our marriage, by the way, and we're more in love today than we were than when we got married, and we're still working on it. But we do have four things to share that we're practicing right now to maybe give people food for thought. But what comes to your mind when you think about this topic?
When I think about romance.
And just having an ongoing connection that gets better and better as the years and decades go by.
I think, well, the first thing that I think about is movies. Think about the, you know, the wining and dining, the flowers, the music, the dance, all those things. And that's just maybe a slither of really what romance is.
Right.
And even when you talk about sex, that's just a slither.
It's a big sliver
of what romance is. Now. So I think there's just so much more into it that as we dive in, we'll figure those things out.
Yep, for sure. So here's the idea. There's, you know, we don't know everything, but we are practicing these four things. This is food for thought today of working today for a legacy of tomorrow. So four connections to work on to grow a romance over time. First off is the spiritual connection. So we've talked about this before on our podcast here, but having a spiritual connection, we can sum that up. Of course, each of us individually developing a love for God, me loving God for myself, same for you. And then as a married couple, we're living for Christ. Our marriage is based on Jesus. We live through his word. we think about each other, ourselves, our kids, and the world through the lens of God.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's a big deal. Practically, I want you to speak on this, of course. Mm. Please don't think that we have to go to church because we're pastors, even though that may sound like that's the case. We chose to be in the house of God before we were pastors.
Right.
So the local church is a big deal, I think, for every family. And there are stats that I would say prove that. Praying together as a couple and as a family is a big deal. And having spiritual connection at home, meaning for right now in our current culture, watching Chosen together, having communion together, having a Bible study together, whatever that means, I think something like that adds to the spiritual connection for a marriage to grow with God.
Right. And it's so important because that's the only way that you know, with our faith, that's how we grow individually. And obviously, like you said, seeing each other, seeing your spouse in God's eyes and how God views your spouse and how God sees maybe the flaws in your spouse. I think that's important. I think also spiritually practical things that you could do is when, you know, you do go to church and afterwards you're able to talk about the message. You're able to say, you know, like, what did you get out of that? How did that move you? Oh, I saw that you were crying, you know, or even just being there with, you know, your spouse is crying in the service and you have your arm around them or whatever, and you could talk about it later. We have small groups at our church. And so there's a bug around me. But we have small groups around our church. And so with that, you know, maybe you're a part of the same small group, which here we have recovery, we have married groups.
All types of groups.
And then, yeah, of course, all types. But maybe if you're in a different group, you know, sharing specifically like, hey, this is what I learned. Or if you're in the same group, this is what I learned. This is how I'm growing. Or, you know, if you're reading the word, this is, you know, we've do this, you know, so often, but you know, this is what I'm learning from God, or this is what God showed me, or, oh my gosh, I didn't see this in the word today. You know, it's just, it's cultivating each other's faith and seeing each other grow in your own faith, but then also with each other, I think is really cool.
So good. And I think there's something about building our lives on Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus talked about his teachings. When we follow them, we're building them on the rock. We're building our lives on the rock. And really, there's something about marriage when we do it Jesus's way that challenges us to lose some of ourselves, to serve. Like, I'm charged in God's word to serve you, to love you, to give myself to you. That's a challenge. I think our natural way is serve me, give to me, do what I want. And Jesus is telling me to do the opposite. So when we do marriage in the way of Jesus, it's not a perfect marriage. In fact, it could maybe be more of a challenge, or the standard, I would say, is higher, but it causes us to be better. It causes us to be whole. It causes us to go to a new level, and our marriage can really thrive and, I think, be strong.
Yeah.
When we have a spiritual ongoing connection. So I want to encourage you, please stay locked into a local church. Please fall in love with God individually and as a married couple and as a family more and more. Think about disciplines, meaning reading the scriptures, praying consistently, worshiping God, having time to connect. Make this a priority, just like you would a hobby like hiking, golfing, etc. Let this be a foundational piece, the foundational piece in your home. The second connection is emotional connection. You mentioned before we started recording, this could be linked to the five love languages. You want to tell us what those are?
Yeah. Acts of service. You got gifts. Quality time.
Quality time.
Words of affirmation.
And the best one?
And it's equal to all of them, physical touch.
Can I get a witness, somebody?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, I mean, so going on with that, you know, everyone needs their emotional connection. Everyone needs the sense of feeling loved, feeling accepted, feeling wanted, being vulnerable in these safe places. And, you know, obviously that could lead to sex, but it's not all about sex. It's truly about letting your spouse know that they are seen, they are valued, They are wanted. Mm-hmm. They are loved.
Yep. And I would say that this emotional connection probably is one of the greatest connections that leads to physical intimacy and other forms. This emotional bond that we have. In fact, we see there's TV shows that, what was the show where they had people in a room that could just hear each other's voice?
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. They talked to each other, developed an emotional connection. Then they asked each other to marry.
Mm-hmm.
Then they see each other for the first time. There's a couple of couples that are still married today. Last time I saw it.
It came out, what, in 2020? So I know I was watching it in 2020.
Yeah, everyone's watching it in 2020.
But that first couple, to your point, is still married.
Yeah.
And it's
interracial
really cool.
couple, mm-hmm. Which is cool. But what was interesting is they had that emotional connection before they saw each other. So that speaks to the power of the emotional connection that really we probably all had in dating.
Mm-hmm.
We all had in marriage when we first got married, and it's easy to maybe lose that over time.
Yeah.
So the intentionality of me serving you in your love language, you serving me in my love language. And my dad's really good about this teaching about being emotionally present for each other and for our kids. And like you just mentioned, having a safe place for them to talk and for each other to talk,
mm-hmm.
vulnerabilities, concerns, secrets, whatever, that we're able to talk and be emotionally supported is a big deal.
Right. And I think the emotional and romance goes to, or maybe a sub point of that is fighting fair, or even just sharing your frustration, sharing your desires, sharing just things in your heart with one another, I think is so key because again, that's you allowing yourself to be emotionally naked, if you will.
Yeah.
And for that's your good. Spouse to see you in this whole light of, man, I'm a wounded person, or, you know, or not even I'm a wounded person, but showing like, these are my wounds. These are my flaws. This is what hurt me. This is what ticks me off. Yeah. And your spouse is able to love you, support you, and in some ways kind of ease or I want to say ooze those wounds, but that's probably not the word.
Soothe. Soothe the wounds.
Yep,
that's good.
It's so important.
A big deal.
Very, very big.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I would say too, not to get ahead of ourselves, but the emotional connection is also tied into dating. I think when we date each other, you know, whether it's deep conversations or not, that can lend to the emotional connection. We're spending time together, having fun together, investing into one another. To me, that helps those emotional bonds stay strong, get strong, grow stronger, and be what God intended. Even last week, I kind of had a moment where I just kind of felt a certain way. And then you said, you know, maybe this is what you're feeling from our interaction. And that helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, yeah, that's what it was. And then in that emotional connection and vulnerability, just a small thing, but we connected and went on.
But the only reason why I could pinpoint, hey, Dave, I think this is what you're feeling, is because we had the emotional connection before, and you've been able to share with me some of the things that you have felt in the past, and so then I was able to connect it. So it's just building. Yep,
it is, and we need it so much, and at times it's hard to do, but it's needed.
Right.
And we're talking about having a growing romance, a growing love story that gets stronger year by year, decade by decade, so that we're eating ice cream at a table in their mid-80s.
And to add, in the emotional connection, you have to apologize quickly.
Yeah, that's good.
And you have to say, I'm sorry, quickly.
We're getting better at that.
I am. You've done a really good job.
I mean, we're trying to get better at it, but I think sometimes people hold on to stuff way too long and we need to...
Which causes resentment and bitterness and all the things.
But that was another day. I was thinking just how, at times, how hard it is to say...
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Like, think about that. I mean, right now, as you're watching and listening, just say it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
How easy it is to say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
But then we get married and we're dealing with an argument, how at times we're so reluctant to say
this.
Because
you want to win.
You want to win. But I would say that shows our sinful nature. That shows the nature in us that's prideful, that's not like Christ. Christ's nature.
Anti-Christ spirit.
Yeah. And Paul said that we have a new nature in Christ. And that nature is humility mm-hmm. and serving one another. Paul said, make allowances for each other's faults in Colossians. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry. All right.
I receive it.
The third connection for ongoing, for an ongoing growing love story is physical connection. Mm-hmm. How would you speak to that?
You want me to speak to that?
Speak to it, girl. Speak to it. Educate us.
So I would say non-sexual touches mm-hmm. are very important, yep. and it's throughout the day. So, you know, just obviously a hug. If you're sitting next to each other, your legs are touching, your arms are touching. Why are you laughing?
Talk about it. Because I see so many memes and reels of like guys saying, when my wife touches me, and like her leg brushes up, you're just like,
they're feeling away. Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's,
can I get a witness out there?
It's something about it. You know, your teeth, your shoes, your shoes are touching.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it's something about being close to one another.
You remember that the guy that came and spoke to us about body language to the staff?
Yes.
And he said, your feet tells a lot about you. We were just sitting next to each other, and our feet, I think, were pointing at each other. Yeah. And he said, these feet are telling something right now. These guys are into each other. I was like, go ahead, girl. Let me see that foot.
Yeah. So all of that, hugs, kisses. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Is all important.
Yep.
Yeah. A little pat on the tush. It's fun. A little squeeze. It's fun.
What? I think that it's interesting how at times sex,
cuddling,
spooning. I think it's interesting how.
Oh, when he pulls me in at night. I love that. Oh my gosh. Like, it's so, like, seriously, you just saw that in the moment, but I could be in the office or I could be driving and I'll start thinking about them like, oh. Anyway. It feels good.
It feels good. I think it's interesting, though, that God gave us this amazing gift for married couples and the gift of sex. And yet this gift becomes a burden so quick.
What do you mean by that?
That it becomes a point of tension, and we've argued over sex before in our marriage. I think a lot of couples do. But I just want to encourage all of us to remember this is a gift from God for us. And talking to our spouse.
I'm sorry. You said, argue over. Like, immediately I'm thinking when some kid, like, you argue over a toy. And it's like, no, this is mine. This is mine. Obviously, it's not that way. We've argued about it.
About it. Excuse me. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. But your body is mine. That's what the Bible says.
Touche.
That's right. But it can be this burden where it should be a gift. So this, I think all these, the spiritual, emotional, and physical connections require effort and intentionality for us to have an ongoing, growing love story over time. It's not going to just happen. Mm-hmm. It takes intentionality to make it happen. And, you know, one thing we do is we have a date every Friday morning. And I would encourage every married couple to have a standing date every week mm-hmm. and make it happen, whether it's you get up early and have coffee at the table, because of time constraints or budget constraints, figure out how we can just sit before the kids get up, if we have kids, and just sit and talk before we get into our day. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a lunch date or a breakfast date, or we get fancied up and go out, you know, whatever. But every week, have some type of timed connection, scheduled connection, rather, that we have to get together. I think that's been a game changer for us.
Yeah. And if you're not able to do that, you know, you can ask a friend who has kids. Mm-hmm. Can you watch my kids? I can watch your kids at a certain time. You know, just be creative mm-hmm. or ask other people, like, how do you guys do this? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yep. And so I pray that we all grow spiritually, emotionally, and physically more and more as the years go on. And as we develop as people, because we've changed. I mean, you've mm-hmm. changed since we got married. I've changed mm-hmm. since we got married. I hope you have too. I think change is a good thing. It's mm-hmm. I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm evolving, I'm, in Jesus' name, getting better, getting healthier, getting more whole, that our love story treks with the growth of us individually and as a couple, that we're moving together in this evolution of our lives toward mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. and in our marriage.
Yeah.
And so the fourth connection is intellectual connection. Mm-hmm. So this would mean to me time of talking to one another, mm-hmm. engaging in conversations about God, history, politics, parenting, money, goals, business,
yeah,
house. What else? How would you quantify intellectual connection?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're growing. We're not the same person when we first started dating or when we first got married. And I think intellectually, the romance, it, like all of these intertwine with one another, right? So it's also continually asking questions mm-hmm. about your childhood, teenage years, being raised in the household, mm-hmm. Going to college, you know, your first job, like all those things. Like my job is to have the PhD of David Norris. Like that's my, like, and I say job, but you know, like that's my desire. That's my passion. I want to know every single little thing about you. And so I think mm-hmm. that it's so important to interact and to know each other in that way, because it's something about feeling understood mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you not having to overly explain mm-hmm. or it's something about, man, you get me.
Yeah.
It's just feeling known. Like I have a place, I have a home with my spouse.
Good.
There's something about it that yep. cannot, you know.
So good.
Deny. So anyway, and then I would also include in that, you know, maybe you're going to a counselor. And again, that can intertwine with emotional and spiritual and even physical, I guess. But like, you know, talking about what's happening with the counselor, mm-hmm. talking about maybe you guys are in counseling together and like, man, I saw that you were crying over X, Y, and Z. Like, tell me more. Mm-hmm. Like, truly, like, digging, like, mm-hmm. searching, exploring who yep. this person is that God gave mm-hmm. you, I think is so important. And I just want to dip back a little bit into physical, because I think it's, you know, especially with women, you know, us, our bodies change, you know, with having babies, you know, that for a man, and especially, I'm not even going to say especially, but even those of us who have maybe lost babies and your body, you know, like it responded in a certain way. If your spouse and husbands, I'm talking to you, to just love your wife in that way, of just the body. I've seen people talk stories about, there's something about that that's just like, man, you know, I hear the wife say, man, I love him even more, mm-hmm. you know. But even like, you know, the shape of the body changes. Yeah. Like if you can romance your wife in the way her body has changed, whew, you're going to get some.
Am I doing that to you?
You're great, babe. I was, yeah. Well, I'm not going to put myself
we're not
down.
We're not going to go there. But here's the thing. We believe that we can grow in our love, and we believe that your marriage can grow too, but it's going to take intentionality. And it's just like if it's investing money, it takes intentionality, it takes consistency, and over time, you get a desired result. In marriage, in relationships, friendships, parenting, it takes consistency, you know, continual deposits, emotionally, whatever it is. And over time, it's going to yield results that we're looking for. You know, I think looking for the home run day is a mistake. If we just do the consistent things, we're going to have home run days. We'll also have strikeout days where we don't get it right, boring days, whatever. But if we do the small things over time, we're building this flow. We're building this connection mm-hmm. that will last a lifetime. And then that will impact generations. And I've said this so many times in the Weekend to Remember that we speak at for Family Life, that, and I tell the story of my grandfather and my mm-hmm. grandmother. But the thing I remember about my grandfather the most, being a pro athlete, NBA basketball player, larger than life hero to me and all of us as grandkids, is he loved Jesus and how he loved my grandma. And that is what's impacted me today. And I'm telling you not about sports accolades or the money that he had. I'm telling you about his date mm-hmm. with his wife at 85, 83. Whether that was in their kitchen eating ice cream, weak physically, but still loving, still reaching, still wanting her. That's what I'm telling you about today, because that stuff is legacy. That stuff lives on, and that's what we're going to do. And I believe you can too. So I don't know where you're at in your marriage today, but I encourage you to take a step forward. Think about having a romance that lasts decades. Don't quit. Don't give up. God can turn it around. Good things can come your way. And if you just take a little bit of time and just invest in these four areas and give God a chance, when you're old, I believe you'll be more in love with your spouse. You have a legacy for a lifetime and for generations, and you'll impact more people than you know. So go for it. Let's see what God can do, right?
Amen.
So we'll come back again next time and explore this a little bit more. But until then, please consider to share, like, or subscribe to the podcast. We'd be honored if you did so. And it's our heart to do our best every episode. So we can't wait to come back and see you again soon. God bless you. And the best is yet to come.